This is exactly right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Allman-Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Guys, gals, non-binary pals, welcome to another fantastic bonusode of Bananas.
More stuff. That's what we're going for. That magic, sweet fifth episode a month so that it surprises you if you're a new listener. All of a sudden, a new Bananas drops out of the sky directly into your lap, and you get to unwrap it and listen to it and say, I wish they only did 4 a month. But that's fine. I'm in a great mood. What I just said will not connect normally to what I'm about to say, but I just got back from the DMV.
You're looking good. He's wearing, for those who don't know, what a delightful shirt. I want to know where you got it. It's like dark blue. Mm-hmm. It's like water, mm-hmm. and then little boats, little people swimming, little people surfing, people mm-hmm. fishing. Oh, I'm loving it.
Well, because I had to get a new license photo, so I said, I'm going to let them know for the next 4 years that I am fun. When I'm pulled over in a DUI checkpoint, I want them to look at this photo and go, he's fun.
This guy's fun. You know what? I did the opposite last time I got my ID, and I made like a crazy face that I thought would look just crazy, but instead it looked like very angry. And now... it does feel somewhat shameful because it's not super funny. It's more like, well, what the fuck? Oh, this is upsetting.
Yeah. No, they don't let you smile. No teeth anymore. All the guy said is, look at the blue dot, no teeth. And I said,
No teeth. Did you have to get a real ID?
I had a real ID. I had to get a new one renewed. But here's my banana. We're going to start with practical, real advice. Do everything online. Do every form. I did some tests. They make you watch like a actually very easy to follow like driving course renewal thing. Do pay for it online. Do everything you can, because when I showed up, there was a line of maybe 200 people outside the DMV, and I walked up and I was like, hey, I made an appointment, and the security guy's like, yeah, go to this guy right here. Walk directly to a dude, and then it put me in a line with three people, and then within 10 minutes, they were like, is this your dress? Is this your height? Is this your weight? Yes, yes, yes. And then the woman was like, read line number 4 on B, please. Nailed that. Nailed it. Then she said, cover one eye. Read that one. Okay. Cover the other eye. Great. She goes, okay, go over there. Get your photo taken. Then it was blue dot, no teeth. Out the door. I would say under 20 minutes full parking to getting back in my car.
What? Where at? Which one?
Van Nuys.
Oh, you go all the way out to Van Nuys.
It's fantastic. I highly recommend it for people in the Los Angeles metropolitan area. It's the one to go to. I didn't even sit down.
I've never heard of it. I've never heard of such a thing.
From here on out, whenever anything lets you apply online ahead of time or check in online or scan the QR code to check in, I'm going to do it. Hours. I mean, like days, weeks before.
I'm gonna. Also, this does sound like a little bit of Scotty Landis magic. I do feel like Scotty Landis has a little bit A little bit of magic goes with them. It's also hard work, perseverance, and preparation.
Sure. Luck matters.
But that sounds delightful.
I know. I was talking to my friend Kia, and she was like, do you get frustrated or annoyed? Like, I was like, hey, I'm going to the DMV. And I was like, the more frustrated I get, the sillier I get. So then I start having a better time. So I was ready. I was ready to get really fun and like really have a moment. But instead, they just shuffled me in, shuffled me out.
I think we've both experienced that when things got... Like when things get frustrating when we're on tour together and we just start laughing about it.
Yeah,
like, it doesn't, there's nothing, nothing you could do about it. Just like, for real? This is how it's going to go?
Well, I don't think we ever talked about the dinner we had after our Pittsburgh show.
Oh, did we not?
No, we have.
I mean, if you don't, I thought we did. If you don't think we have, then that means we haven't because your memory is way better than mine.
Maybe I mean we talked. We told you and I told somebody, but I'm not sure if we did it on the pod. But
oh,
but
we
also
have to.
In Pittsburgh, when we before we did the show to go to check in, we go in and there's just nobody at the front counter. That happened in Philly too, I think.
No. Me. But also. Before we even get to the hotel, we go to P.F. Chang's.
Oh, of course.
We are the only... This is a stadium-sized restaurant. Okay? We are the only two human beings because it was like 11:30 and nobody's going to eat Chinese food at 11:30 a.m. except for us who just been up since like 6 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
And a guy came over, took our order, and then, I don't know, maybe it was a full hour? Before, like, a salad came out?
Yes, it was so crazy because we had to check in the hotel. And then we do these, our Bananas Live shows are a lot of times at like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. So we had an hour and a half to go shower, decompress. And instead, we had 20 minutes. We, like, went in a room, showered. I grabbed my bananas, clothes.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
But when we got to the hotel, there was nobody at the...
Nobody at the check-in.
So I called the phone number until the person came out of nowhere and answered the phone. And then I hung up before she answered and then was like, hello, we'd like to check in. It was like, again, we could do better as a society, but
and
what
then,
a show.
So as we're going out, if we've talked about this before, you're hearing it again. We're going out. We finished the show. It was an afternoon show. It was an afternoon show. So we could like go out and just have a dinner.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit, it was December, and I go on to, and this was my mistake, Scotty. Here's I think wherein the mistake lies.
I think this was the good luck, honestly.
I went to, I think, Pittsburgh Magazine.
Mm.
I just Googled best restaurants in Pittsburgh, started looking through lists, and then I found a list, and I didn't realize it was Pittsburgh Magazine. And those magazine lists, I think, are always bullshit. They're not...
Yeah.
They're always
are
like
they
being,
paid
they're
for?
Paid off, you know, right. They're being paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, here's a place downtown that has live jazz and delicious food. And I showed it to you. I was like, what do you think about this?
It had a great review.
It had a wonderful review. And I was like, live jazz? And I was like, and I looked up, went on the website, looked up, what's tonight? Christmas jazz. Oh, I think maybe one of my favorite jazzes.
Yeah, if you had to lock me in to listen to jazz, make it Christmas jazz.
Yeah, I'm thinking Peanuts album. I'm thinking Vince Aguardi. I always want to say Vince Lombardi, but it's like whatever that guy's name is who does the Peanuts album. I'm thinking that, you know, I'm thinking Linus's theme song over and over again.
Decompress after two great Pennsylvania shows. And the bar, so it was also very cold that night. Like the coldest I've been in a couple years being in Southern California, but it was in the teens.
Yeah. And so we drive half hour. And it's downtown, so it was great. We got to like go into downtown Pittsburgh.
My favorite part is just doing dumb stuff with you on these trips. Yeah.
So that was beautiful. And then we find it, and immediately when we get to where it is, I'm like, oh no.
We're in the theater district.
We're in the theater district. The Pittsburgh theater district. Yeah. I don't know what Pittsburgh's known for theater. Maybe they are, because they have a very great arts
scene.
Good arts,
in Pittsburgh.
But I'm like, I don't want to be going to a place where people go before they see a matinee of
Peter
Pan.
Nutcracker was letting out, and it was charming because it was lots of parents with lots of mostly little girls with their daughters and granddaughters. Everybody's dressed up in their Christmas gear, and everybody was happy. They had just seen the crazy Nutcracker.
We get a seat and sit down. And is it? I don't know. It's essentially the woman starts the moment we sit down.
Yeah, we walk in and the cocktail bar is really nice looking. Like the bar looked great, but then the hostess Kurt's like, "Hey, we have a reservation for two." And the band hadn't quite started up, but so as the woman is walking us to our desk, to our table. We're approaching it, and I see that there's like a pretty significant piece of food on the corner that Kurt was going to sit on, and she just flicks it off and drops the menus all in one motion. And I was like, oh, we're about to have a crazy time.
And then we sit down, and immediately the band starts up.
Mm-hmm. True.
And
we knew.
Like from the first, tell them the first thing that happens on stage. We will not name this performer
because
we don't remember their names.
No, we don't.
We will not even mention the small Pennsylvania town they're from because we do know that as well.
No, we will not. But
this is how she began.
So it's like you get a little bit of that cymbal and you get a little bit like, okay, the band, here we go. And then you just hear ding dong, ding dong. Ding dong. And by the third ding, by the first ding dong, Kurt's looking at me. By the third ding dong, we were ready to have some beverages. We were like, this is not Christmas yet, as we know it. And then all the menu items, the reviews were like, get the bread or die. And then we were like, we'd like to start with the bread. They're like, sold out. And I was like, oh,
sold out of bread. That's a bad sign for any restaurant. That means that the bread is better than anything else on the menu.
Yeah, and it was. And then we ordered, I ordered something else and they were out of it. Then I ordered a cocktail that sounded really crazy and they didn't have one of the key ingredients. So then we got just regular cocktails and that was the all-star. And then I don't even remember. I got like a jerk tofu. I was like, I'm just going to swing so wildly because now I know it's on the menu. And I know nobody else here on December whatever is ordering jerk tofu bowl or whatever. And then you made a somehow crazier choice.
Somehow crazier.
Maybe. I've known you for 18 years. This was the craziest order I've ever... And
it was... So I saw the words catchy... Again, this was a bananas day. It's been a long day. Yeah. We've been drinking a little bit. And it said cacio pepe. And then the word banana was after it. But I'm assuming... Well, they didn't put banana into the cacio e pepe because that's crazy. Yeah. No one would do that.
No.
I'm like, there's banana something. Well, that's interesting. How do they do that? And I asked, I said, how's this? They said, it's amazing.
Yeah,
the
waiter.
It's one of the best dishes. And I said, great. What comes back is exactly what I just described. It is cacio pepe made with banana, like noodles. Mushed into it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was the most, I was so furious.
Yeah, you were beyond. You had lost it and you dropped your fork. After one bite, you dropped the fork on the bowl. Do you remember what you said?
No.
This is the worst fucking food I've ever had. You were so gone.
I was so mad. It's the most disgusting idea ever.
Yeah, it was a big mistake.
It was a big mistake. Cacio pepe, somehow they put bananas in there. Somehow the cheese was in there, cream was in there, butter's in there, pepper, and then banana.
Yeah, you were not
and pasta.
Happy. And then it was like, well, two more drinks, and then we're sitting there watching the band who didn't get better, but still, but we at least crossed over to it is so bad that now we're having a ball.
Yeah, and but then, also we were so close to the band.
Yes.
We were maybe, it's like a long, narrow.
Yeah.
And the stage is maybe 10 feet away, 15
feet
away.
Yeah, we were close.
You couldn't show on your face that you didn't like anything.
Yes.
You had to smile.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the performance of being an audience member there was maybe worse than than the food.
Yes. It was so fun. And it was like, it was just great. It was. It was one of those things that went so far. And also, this was after not having anybody check us in. This is also not having somebody at P.F. Chang's not ever bring us food. And then we had also killed time right before our show at Dave and Buster's, which was honestly the highlight of the whole thing. That Dave and Buster's in Pittsburgh and or whatever that area is called. Incredible. One of the great Dave and Buster's. She gave us the biggest double vodka soda. We were demolishing kids in driving games, just breaking souls.
Scotty won every single driving game. And I was like, I don't even understand that how this is a skill that he has.
I learned very early on in Pittsburgh that if you just hit, you just smash that turbo button right at the end, didn't do it any other time, that it would just rocket you to lead, and I would watch a young man's face, like a 7-year-old, go, oh. And then we did take, we told the scam goddess, Lacey Mosley, about that we tipped with our Dave and Buster's cards. That's the one time we did talk about this. But yeah, anyways, so shout out Pittsburgh. You guys were an incredible audience. We love you. We'll be back. We'll just maybe not go for Christmas jazz after we rock the house with a Bananas live show.
Well, you know, here on the Bonusode, we answer your advice questions. Yeah. And so up first, we have, here it is.
Hey, Banana Boys, I'm Olive. Please tell Banana Olive that she is excellent, and also tell Gus he has a great name as well. I teach creative writing, but sometimes I work in groups of other artsy types teaching English and creative writing in schools in Austria. And when I do that, I have to work with little groups of other artsy types to do that. I found that when I'm coordinating, some men, not all men, but some men take my, attempts to just check how they're doing or ask them questions or just generally give them instructions about our week. They tend to take it quite badly. I get the reaction from them that I am almost like I'm their uncool mom crashing their fun boys' time. And I would just really love some Bananas advice from two of my favorite men on how to deal with it when their reaction is prickly or just out and out hostile. I love the podcast. You cheer me up very, very often. Bananas.
I mean, Olive, do you want to record our permanent voicemails forever?
No kidding.
The greatest voice.
Thank you.
If AI technology is not hiring Olive record,
to do,
may I murder you now? Yes, my God, thank you, so charming.
Go ahead. That's what I can't even imagine. Is men being like getting prickly? Just like any information that comes from that voice, you're just like, all right, that's fine.
Sounds good. She should be a surgeon. Exactly. If I ever had any instructor with that voice, I would be like, whatever she says, I will follow her into battle. Well, that's okay. So whenever she gives sort of art, writing, whatever lessons to the men's groups or the boys' groups, they are hostile or prickly.
I think it's when she's a coordinator for the other people who are going in to give instructions. So male teachers, or as we know them to be, pricks.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's so insane that you have to deal with that bullshit, and we apologize.
Yeah, insecure dudes. Ego wimpy guys. Well, one thing. And also, I always come into these cold, which is exciting for me because I never know which way it's going to go. And one thing I do whenever I'm approaching anybody and I know that they're probably going to be horrible is I say something about myself. I knock myself down a peg while introducing the new thing. So I have been known to say I'm getting my bike fixed. And I'm going in, and I don't know this. I've never been in this shop before, and the person doesn't say hello when I walk in. I'll walk up, and if they finally go, can I help you? I go, maybe I'm an idiot. I don't know. I have this flat tire and I can't seem to get it fixed. Do you guys even do stuff like that? I will go to this obtuse moron character. Or like a food that I've never had before. First time I had Ethiopian food and I wasn't sure, like, hey, how are we eating this? What's the right way to eat it? And I was on a date. I would say to the server, I'm like, I might be the stupidest guy in the world. I have never had this before. What are some of like the tips? And it is incredible that if you knock yourself down a little bit and then like present the thing you need, people go, no, 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 you're fine. You're fine. Here's how you do it. So maybe by taking a slightly lower status go and pull it back a little bit and make them feel like, oh, okay, she's not telling me what to do. She's, but you really are. Deep down, you're getting exactly what you want out of them. You're just disguising it behind, I don't know, what do you think? And then you get them to say the thing that you wanted them to agree on in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
That's my strategy for life.
I agree. I think I use that strategy as well. I also think that that strategy we're using in situations where we are asking something, mm-hmm. right? And I feel like she might be in situations where she's telling people things that have to be done. And I think that's a trickier situation to employ that technique.
Sure.
And, you know, there's always the thing that the version of this that I think that is, is like, this is such bullshit, but, you know, we got to do it. You know, I hate it, too. I'm just one of the guys. But you guys need to fill out all these time cards and give them to me. Do you know what I mean? That's that version. It's just like, I wish we did it. What a bummer, you know, but you guys need to do this because I'm in charge. It's like that sort of thing. But I think there's also a way to do it, to directly address it with humor as well.
That's right.
Because these guys are that's so annoying. I know, I'm so sorry that you have to deal with that. Like, I know exactly that this exists, and I do think it's just straight up unconscious misogyny. I think it's just pointing at it, you know? I think it's like pointing it out. And saying, like, because we don't know the specifics of exactly how it happens, and so it's difficult to give you an example, but to just point at it and be like, if you'd like, I can use a man voice, and would that make you feel more comfortable?
Gosh, that would be so funny. Do we swing it the other way, where the emails or the texts or whatever start with such praise at the very top, like, coolest gods of education and instruction? When you bless these students, like, do you go so high?
Oh,
and
that's
saying,
great.
Master lords of genius and insight. Your students require your services beyond reproach. Just go so hard at the top of over praising them for being so special and unique that it's up to them to decide if you're being sarcastic. And then if they go, is this sarcastic? You go, no, you guys are great. Like, this year it's going amazing. But yeah, just call them like cool gods of art and insight and see if they can, because that's what they want. They want you to think they're awesome. So they're being dickheads.
Yeah. And the whole like thing of being treated like a mom. And I think that that is also another thing that can be pointed out as well. And just like, boy, like there's another version of that, which is like, boys, I don't know if you guys probably say nappies, I'm assuming, Olive, instead of diapers. But like, boys, change your nappies because you're going to have to change your own nappies because I'm not your fucking mom. So get out there and you need to like submit this to me by this time because that's how it works. And I don't.
Okay, I like it. So start at the top with some. Oh, just exaggeratedly big.
Yes.
But praising introduction, it's that time again. And then somewhere around the time where you have to get to brass tacks, you say, and we all know how this goes, I can't be the one to change the nappies for you, so let's get out there and give it our best shot. Signed sincerely, Olive.
I do think whichever you choose, hyperbole is the way to go. Yeah. either expanding it into like you're the queen mistress of the military that they have now joined, or that like you are like you just think that they're geniuses, or like whatever it is, hyperbole is the way to go, and just play into it and push it far so that when you have to like be like, and now you have to do this, it just you know, it's lost within like almost a confusing level of hyperbole.
Right. And if this doesn't work, create a fake personal assistant with a ridiculous name, make it a man, make his name like Max Boner or something like that.
Yes.
And just be like reporting from the offices of Olive with the great voice. Olive has tonsillitis, and she just wants to make sure you guys all get this. Your best always, Max Boner. And I think that...
Yeah.
Do you remember when...
I love that idea, first off. Like, yeah, Maxford Boner, and just...
But spell it not B-O-N-E-R. Spell it like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it takes B-O-E-H-N-E-R.
Yes. Like Boehner. How is it? So Maxford Boner, and... And just be like, listen, guys, I'm gonna be around there. I'm the fun one. I pal around. Maxford's gonna be handling all of like the scheduling details. And then Maxford's a fucking dick.
Yeah.
Like Maxford's hardcore, just like, this is what you have to do, and you do it. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
Yeah, fake online personality. Set up a Gmail account. All that. We know somebody that did this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a comedian who for years lied that he had a lawyer in Koreatown named Frank Cum. And do you remember this?
No.
Oh my gosh. This is the craziest. So he created a fake entertainment lawyer because he didn't have one at the time. And whenever he would go onto a work call or work email, he would always CC this fake lawyer. And then it got to the point where his comedy partners knew, and I knew, I was just like a writer helping them. I knew that that this man did not exist. He put a photo on the email that was like, you know, in like the sign off or whatever it's called at the bottom, so that it looked like a real person, just found one online. And it got to the point where that in notes calls with networks for their script, he would be like, wait, we got to wait for my lawyer, Frank Compton, to hop on. And then he got a burner phone and would call from another room and be like, Frank's on, and then go back and be like, hey, Frank. But that is a true story,
God.
A fake lawyer
so
for like 3 years.
And Olive, what I'm saying, so yes, so make the Maxford, but all you need is a Gmail address, and I think you should attach an Instagram. This is what I'm saying. Maxford Boner should have an Instagram, and please use my photos. I give you permission to lift any of my photos from Instagram. I would love to be the face of Maxford Boner for you. Especially if these are Austrian teachers, a very Aryan looking man will assuage all of their fears. So pop him on there.
And if you ever get called out and you feel like your job's on the line, guess who will pick up the phone as your personal assistant?
Me. I totally will. I will give you my personal phone number so that I can field any questions. And every answer will be like, you know what? I'm going to have to check my records because I'm not so sure.
Mm-hmm. But I trust
like,
Olive.
Wait a second. Maxford Boner is American?
God, now I think you and I should just start a fake personal assistant company where it's just you and me have a separate phone. It's like for $2,000 a year, you could just say that we're your assistant and we'll go, I'm going to check on that and get right back to you. That's all we'll do. Absolutely understand your, oh God. Anyways, Maxford, Maxford Boner. And hyperbole, give them what they want up top, make a joke at the bottom. And if they still aren't coming your way, fake assistant sends an email. See how they react.
I love it. All right. Here we go. Ready?
Ready.
Hey, banana boys. It's me, a listener. So I'm wanting some advice on pranking my bosses at our next Christmas party. Last year, my husband dressed up as one of our bosses. And it got a lot of laughs from everybody. Really pissed off our bosses. So we're just looking for something, you know, new, better to do. We work in the marijuana industry, so pretty much anything goes. I just really don't have any ideas, and I would like to surprise my husband with a list of ideas of things for him to do next year, because he does love getting a good laugh. find himself a comedian. All right. Bye, boys.
My God, it's the episode, it's the bonusode with the best voices ever.
Yeah, I know. She should be the voice of Eddie, video game hero character that comes in and tells you like which way to go in the labyrinth, and you're like, thank you.
God. All right, good pranks for your boss.
In the weed industry, it's interesting that the weed boss didn't like to have somebody dress up like them. That's so fascinating.
I think that's very funny. I would love it. I'd be taking pictures with them.
Oh, yeah. On Workaholics, every year somebody would dress up like those guys, like the cast. And the crew would dress like the cast, and it was all they would just take photos together, and everybody was happy. It was a very nice way to be.
Yeah, no, that the boss is getting upset about it is the strange part, right? It's just like, oh, these bosses are a little, you know, they can't take a joke.
Yeah, unless what would be their signature look where they would get offended? Like, to see somebody wearing the shirt I'm wearing right now, if you dress like me, I would be like, this is a great bit, and I'm having a ball. Drink some me all night, buddy.
Well, so what if we take it one step further? If they got upset about him dressing up as them, what if you got a backpack and put a mini version of the bosses in your backpack so that you were like just taking like, you know, like a Yoda style backpack for when Luke, you know, works out.
Oh, that's interesting.
So then you make like a doll that looks like the boss. It's in a backpack and you give him little drinks all night and you pat his head because that's like even more diminutive, which is a fun thing for a boss.
I know. I wonder what something like that would cost, because if you could get everybody at the thing to wear the boss baby Yoda backpack. Oh,
flip
man.
It around.
Yeah.
Flip it around. Baby Bjorn boss.
That's what I'm thinking.
All right. Baby Bjorn, arms out, legs in front. Little boss in the front. Everybody's
with
got
joint
one arm
hanging out, the tape to the side of the mouth, dangling like a softball coach's cigarette in the late 80s. Yeah, that's a fun one. I mean, also, like, I guess there's such a difference between like just pranks. Like, you and I don't like pranks, even though we've worked on so many prank shows. But like, if you really wanted to get this person, I'm trying to think of the best way to really around Christmas too.
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
Okay. What if you bought the absolute cheapest car you can find on Craigslist in your town? I mean, a car that's just a tow away, whatever.
Right.
And the night before the party, you take it to where your company is, put it in your boss's parking lot, wrap it fully in wrapping paper so you can't see what's underneath.
Uh-huh.
And everybody pitched in to get the boss a new Tesla or whatever, and just have a big bow on it. And basically, the way those Lexus commercials and Audi commercials are on Christmas are always like, oh, you bought me a car? Be like, we bought your car. And then just have the absolute biggest piece of shit right in his spot and just be like, Merry Christmas. It's the new Tesla.
Oh, I really like that. The main thing would be if you could make that like box. Do you know what I mean? Like the box that goes over the whole thing that was like a present box.
Yeah,
I don't know,
so you can't tell what it is.
Yeah, so you can't tell what it is. You don't see the shape of it, and you can tell like, oh, this is a 1998 Ford Camry. You know, Ford Camry. Ford started making Camrys.
Local reptile
like
guy put
well.
A python on a desk. You put a python on a desk, things are happening.
Yeah, you bring a big snake. That's another great present.
Local reptile educator. You just put a little heating pad under your boss's desk, under his keyboard. They come in the morning. They see a big old Burmese python. You're having fun. Nobody gets hurt. Snake's having a good time.
Snake doesn't care. Snake's not a smart animal.
Yeah.
Snake just likes warmth.
Give him warmth. Give the snake warmth. Let's think of one more. But also total piece of shit to wrap a car and to say we all pitched in for this and then it's just a problem. Just tow it away. Get it scrapped in the morning. Give it to 1-877 Cars for Kids. They'll come and get it.
Yeah, if you're having your like your party at the venue, you make sure to like park it in the back or whatever so he can't see it. You wrap it beforehand and then you walk him around like we all pitched in, come on over. He sees it. He's like, are you guys kidding me? Mm-hmm. It's like, we all pitched in. Merry Christmas. That's a great idea. I'm always a fan of making a mask of the person so that everyone at the party is the person.
Simple, easy.
Simple, effective. Easy, fun, weird, upsetting on some level as well.
What if you shoot a video of a giant bag of your products with your boss's photo on a card inside of a Ziploc bag with all of the weed, and you say Merry Christmas from this person at this thing, and then you put it in a balloon and you film it taking off, but then you actually have it like hooked to a fishing line so he can't see it, but you basically send drugs across state lines to where it's not legal with all your boss's information, and you just show him the video at the party. Like,
yeah,
isn't
yeah.
this awesome? We just sent like all the new pre-rolls
and right?
oils. Right.
So you do that, and then cops show up at the party to arrest your boss.
Ooh.
Okay.
What a prank. What
so we got lights prank. Going. We got lights going outside. The cops come in. They're dancers. All right. Mm. Then it's boom. The jam box goes on.
Hogs
boom,
come
off.
Out. Yeah, exactly.
Two just glistening male cop dancers dance all over him, handcuff him to a chair, and just give him the the party of his life. There we go.
You fake send the gift of weed across state lines, show him, say, isn't that awesome? No, we said it was from you. I forged your signature, whatever, and just make it seem like it was a really big show that early in the day. Cops show up at the party. They want to talk to him. They keep it as real as they can. Say, like, we found this in Nevada. I'm guessing this is a California person. And
I think it's a Colorado person.
Ooh, right. Yeah. And it's like it was a bunch of kids found it in the backyard. You're under arrest.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, or, went, you know it, what? I feel like cops.
Kansas.
You could also have, like, the federal. Because, you know, like, the federal issue of marijuana
DEA.
Is still, like, a little. Yeah, DEA shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're dancers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dancing, entertaining adults show up and they just let it rip. Dazzling, erotic
the DEA
asses.
Dancing, entertaining adults. I hope that that is already it somewhere being done.
I hope so too. So anyways, there's a couple ideas. Hopefully that sparks something for you.
Yeah.
I have a thumbs up about bonusodes, Curdy B.
Oh, give us a thumbs up about bonusodes, Scotty.
Silas Ray wants to thumb us up. He says, huge thumbs up to the Bananimals from bonusode number 11 to the Bananimal from bonusode number 11, who asked about messing with their homophobic, transphobic colleague. As a trans guy, I've been feeling weighed down by all the anti-trans rhetoric on social media lately, and it really made my day. Hearing her question about support really made my day. And thank you both for always supporting and speaking up for the queer Bananimals and making the podcast a safe little space for us to come home to. And then Silas says, would love, if you do read this, that if she hears it, that it really did make my day better. So if you're still listening to the young lady that we talked to about, I think it was her work colleague that was a jerk, you made somebody happy. So good for you.
That is awesome.
Up to you.
That makes me happy that all of that occurred.
I know it all came back around, but hey, people are listening. We're an educational podcast.
A lot of people don't realize that. People say, it's just fun. No, we're learning. We're listening.
Lessons.
We're listening to each other, and we're learning.
Heck yes, we are. It's not just silly goofing and silly spoofing.
I mean, it's a lot of that.
It's mostly that.
There's a little bit of learning as well in there.
Man, fake send weed over state lines and then say kids found it and smoked it, and then the dancing entertainment adults or whatever. This is fantastic.
I really do love it. I love it. We got through two, but send in your advice. If you have questions for advice, send them into the Bananas Podcast.
At
gmail.com or really the Bananas Podcast on Instagram. DM them. You can record a voice memo right there in the app. Ask your question and hopefully we will play it on one of our bonusodes.
Yeah.
There's more bonusodes to come, folks.
12 more.
12 more at least, right? Oh,
yeah.
March. Yeah.
Yeah.
April is. That's right, Scotty. Coming up on our 4-year anniversary in April.
Is it four? I guess it is four. Holy, 4 years ago this week, we were first week of lockdown. Holy Toledo. The world's exactly the same.
Isn't that crazy?
Crazy.
That
thanks
like
for sticking with us.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate you. Thank you to Katie Levine. Thank you to our full human intern part-time employee, Lisa Magid. Thank you to Karen and Georgia.
Well, the benevolent overlords always, and Kahan Anadi for our killer theme song, and Tori, our Tori, who made us the greatest website, and didn't have to, like, I've shown people that make websites, and they're like, this is really good. So our worldwide wonderful Tori. This is great. And also, if you have time to give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, do it. I want to get to 7.5K this year. That's my goal.
Are we at 7.4 right now?
No, we're not. We're at 7.2 right now. But okay. I think we can take it up a notch. We can get it. We don't ask for it very much. Other podcasts talk about it all the GD time.
But yeah, please do. It really does matter. And of course, the end of the bonusode after we said we were ending, no one is listening at this point.
Correct. Thank you.
And if you are, you're very special.
You're very special in our hearts and minds.
And we have a secret for you. You're the only one for us.
You're the only one we love.
Bananas.
Bananas. Bananas is an Exactly Right Media production.
Our producer and engineer is Katie Levine.
The catchy Bananas theme song was composed and performed by Kahan.
Artwork for Bananas was designed by Travis Millard.
And our benevolent overlords are the great Karen Kilgariff and Georgia Hardstark.
And Lisa Magid is our full human, not a robot intern.
Bananas.